A very good afternoon to you, wherever you're listening to us from. You are tuned into Eagle FM, and this is On The Radar. I am your host, Dafa Happy Juju, bringing you not just the news, but the narrative behind the headlines. Now here on The Radar, we go beyond the bullet points. Of course, we slow it down, zoom in, and examine the heartbeat of the nation, from the chambers of parliament to the dusty roads of our forgotten regions. We give stories the space they need and the analysis that they deserve. Now, this show isn't just about what's happening. It's about why, how, when, who is making the calls, and how it affects you and I. Our conversations are deep dives, backed up by archived reports, real voices, and context that doesn't expire with a news cycle. Now, whether you're driving through Katutura, sitting in Swakopmund, Walvisby, Oshakati, Ondangwa, Rudrets, or listening from the diaspora, On The Radar is where critical conversations unfold. Stream us live via our Eagle FM website. Follow us on our digital platforms such as Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. And plug into our WhatsApp channel for behind-the-scenes content and exclusive updates. And not to forget, our Eagle FM app, available on App Store or Play Store, delivered to you try weekly, that is three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right through your mobile app, through free of charge. Now, this is On The Radar, where thoughtful radio is for the thinking people, and where we analyze and ask the questions. Let's get right into it. Now, on our agenda today, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah officially launched Namibia's sixth National Development Plan, also known as NDP6, yesterday. Now, this critical policy document marks the latest the last national planning phase before the country's Vision 2030 deadline, outlining strategic priorities to intensify economic recovery, inclusivity, and resilience for sustainable development. Marking 3 months in office since her inauguration on 21st March 2025, President Nandi-Ndaitwah will also address the nation to reflect on her early achievements, her challenges, and the policy direction of her government. Now, as Namibia navigates its own complex development path towards Vision 2030, the launch of the sixth National Development Plan, NDP6, marks a defining moment in the country's long-term strategic planning. NDP6 arrives as the last national blueprint before the Vision 2030 deadline, placing strong emphasis on inclusive growth, economic recovery, and national resilience. Now, the plan outlines bold ambitions, including reducing unemployment to leaving it at only 25%. In other words, it aimed to create employment, having Namibia's employment standing at 75%. It also aims to increase productivity and expand investment in key sectors that can sustainably lift the nation out of prolonged stagnation. Now, among the plans, its top priorities is agro-processing, a sector long acknowledged for its potential, but underutilized in terms of value addition and job creation. Now, according to NDP6 policy framework, Namibia aims to raise agro-processing contribution to gross domestic product, GDP, from the current 7.5% to 10% by 2030. Now, this represents a strategic pivot towards local production, product diversification, and export-driven growth. Now, with only 4 and a few months left to Vision 2030, how exactly do we intend to achieve this? Now, of course, I'm joined in studio now by Jacob Mutota. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Yes, good afternoon, Juju.
Jacob Mutota is an agronomist, and we are going to discuss with him how exactly, if he is given the opportunity, would he advise government to strategically plan in order for them to actually realize their goal of adding 2.5% to what agro-processing is currently contributing to the GDP. Now, Mutota, how exactly do you think government can put in place and try to leverage opportunities in order for agro-processing to add value to the country and also contribute to the GDP growth of the nation?
All right. Thank you. First of all, let me thank you for this conversation that you're having right now. And let me thank the government at large for looking into these critical things. And agro-processing is one of the very important thing that the government has to do. If I can remember very well, last time we had the conversation about NAB closing borders, agro-processing was also part of our conversation. So to point out a few things, the government can actually achieve the 2.5% to make it to 10% increase. This is very achievable as you look at our products that we have now, mostly produced, and we sell our product as they are. We sell off farms, or we sell as they are and not really processed. And we only, most of the products, agricultural products that are processed, we get them from abroad.
Yeah.
But if we are to pinpoint things that can be done, the government here, it stated that it wants to build manufacturing and factories and all those.
Mm-hmm.
This is very achievable. It is very achievable, and it will at least add value to the economy and to the GDP. We have. If I can give an example of this restaurant, KFC, Hungry Lion,
mm-hmm.
and others. These shops sell chips portions that are coming, the pre-frozen portion chips that comes from outside.
Yeah.
Yet we can also grow our potatoes in here, and we can process them into those smaller portions and sell them locally.
Mm.
So these are one of the things that the government should look into. And we also have a lot that we acquire or that we import from abroad, like jam, juice, and other things that we can do inside, we can do locally.
Yeah.
So this is a very good thing, and it will, if the government put effort in it, it can surprise you that it might even get more than 2.5%.
It might surprise us that it can actually get to more than 2.5%. Hey, in terms of actually boosting the young people to take up space in terms of agriculture and agro-processing, how exactly do you think the government should go about it? And of course, just by telling them to actually go into agriculture might not be enough. So how would you say they should add to that?
Okay, currently we have a few people that are producing in farms. And the reason being, a lot of people are scared to take risks because there is no commercial market.
Yeah.
And their product ends up going to waste because there is no processing plant that they can rely on to sell their product. And there is no enough motive, at least. So if a government can now come with this agro-processing, more people will be encouraged because you will have off-take agreements with a certain company, or let me say a government, that you produce this much and we take it off you. You don't have to worry about the market. We just produce, we pay you, we see what you can do with it. So this on its own is an encouragement to young people to participate in farming and agriculture processing also. Another thing is we have people that are processing, but they are not processing to that extent that we need. We have, the government can also use entities like AMTA.
Mm-hmm.
AMTA is agricultural product, but it only markets these ones that we have, and the shelf life for our product, being tomato, cabbage, is not that much. But if they can also increase their processing, it will be much better. Cabbages can be cut, carrots can be cut, and you have frozen vegetables from made in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
frozen produced locally. I'm only aware of one young farmer that is emerging, and he's somewhere around Windhoek, and he does that, and he sells his product in AMTA. So people are willing to participate, but they have this fear of market.
Yeah.
The fear of market. Mm-hmm. Market is not cheap, and if you happen to produce much that then you can sell, you end up losing all your input. And the farming is not an easy thing. It's not a cheap thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a very expensive
thing.
So those are the key things that also government can just look into.
Yeah. Now, for those farmers already who have the knowledge and the know-how and actually making, they are bearing fruit in their work, how would you say perhaps they want to go into agro-processing and actually add value to their products and not have them wasted? But then what? How do they go about it? They perhaps cannot afford, I'm sure it takes more than just having a fridge to freeze some potatoes and freeze some carrots. Jacob, give us actually the know-how, what they can do. And is it only by themselves that they can actually be able to process their food and actually keep it, make it also its shelf life more, extend its shelf life more? Is it only by themselves that they can do that? Or perhaps just exactly what can the government put in place?
Okay. Thank you for this question. People that are producing right now, they are doing it, but not to a standard or a required standard.
Okay.
You will find them not selling in these commercial shops like previously Pick and Pay, ShopRite, and others.
Yeah.
They only sell in this our local market. It's because of the standards that are set in the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Safety officers are there. They are observing, and to have a factory that process food on a high standard, it's very expensive to acquire. So the government, that what it must do, what I must advise them, is to build at least a processing plant somewhere, give compartments or chambers to people that are having their produces and they want to process them there. It can be different. It can be of different processes. One would want to make jam. One would want also to make juice. So build those for the farmers, put it at least at the point where most of the farmers can reach. Suppose Otavi, so that all farmers around Tuarongo in Otavi, Grootfontein area can get there. So, yeah, if you can put those factories there, people come there, they are probably renting or whatsoever, this will also help. Or a government can also give production loans to people that want to go into processing.
Yeah,
this will also then help them individually to process their things on their farm and then send them to for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has to include more safety officers to be on the ground to see or to outlook the whole process of building factories and all this. Because this standard thing, these standard things and gaps are mostly there because people are not involving a safety officer when they are building their processing plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the government has to build those. Either give loans to people who want to process or build processing plants for people to rent.
I think that I like the first idea of government planting processing plants or building processing plants, factories that people can actually rent and hopefully not charge them a lot of money, because I mean farmers are also trying to make money themselves, but also maybe charging them something little will help them to maintain it. Now, Jacob, do you, as an agronomist, along with other farmers, those in your field as well, do you perhaps come together, sit down and discuss a way forward and have a vision for yourselves? Perhaps maybe you talk about in 2 years' time, we could come together, collaborate and do this, maybe also to help boost our product and add value addition to our product. Is that something that you guys do? And if not, is there something in the pipeline?
Yes, we do talk about this more often. We do discuss these kind of things, but you cannot say in 2 years. It's a minimum 5 year thing that you have to put in place.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to contribute. You also have to look at all the processes of coming up with all those victories. We have people, local people that are trying when it comes to agronomy. You see, we have a milling factory in Ochikango. This one is specifically for Mahangu, and it has been milling Mahangu, I think, for the past few years. But recently, we have seen drought relief is contributing Mahangu flour.
Yeah.
So these people are processing Mahangu. So, and it's also part of the whole agro-processing. Instead of selling grains, people are now selling flour, mango flour. So it's an initiative that was done by us farmers, individual farmers, not us to say I'm part of it, but this guy. So we also discussed about a lot of things, like my interest was on potatoes and chicken. But there are also those people that are playing Monopoly. We should not forget about that. That's why I'm saying it's a thing that will not happen overnight. It will take 5 years minimum or to 10 years to come up with it. But farmers are willing to come together and create a shop where they can market their products. It's only that we don't have that capital to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't have that capital, but it's a thing that we are working on. As farmers to say, it's a thing that we discuss, and it's a thing that we want to look at. But now if the government is coming up with anything, with this whole process, we can also give our ideas to the government. We can also give them our papers that this is what we have, this, we looked at, this is what we researched on, these are the outcomes, this is how much we need, and this is how much it will contribute to the whole GDP. So we have those kind of information. It's only that, you know, you can't give out your information just right away.
Yeah.
You have to take the whole process and find a way on how to do it.
Absolutely. Now, Mutota, what are your current assessments of the current market? Do you see, I know you spoke about that, yes, this is possible, we might even contribute more than the 2.5% that is put in place as a target. But what is your current assessment of the current market for the farmers? Do you think it's something that they can really penetrate, or perhaps just locally? And of course, how can they then go about it? I know you talk about safety officers also being in the on board and perhaps helping them also with their products, but furthermore,
yes, we market wise we can penetrate. We can penetrate because we have entities like NAB. This one helps also farmers, because if I take you back, NAB closes the borders, then all other shops are forced to buy locally. So that's already a clear indication that market, we can access market.
Okay.
Only, mm-hmm. Yeah, only we don't have this capacity to produce and to process at a large quantity that we can dominate the market. We are there, we come in, we come out because of challenges that I mentioned before. Sometimes you are not producing at that capacity because you are scared you might not have a market. And when you have, when you get that market, it's only one. And also quality also sometimes plays a very big role in marketing. You might find out that your products are sent back to the farm. And transport is also a key thing. It's very expensive. If I'm producing, if I'm based, say, in Sumer, and I produce something, I send to Windhoek, then my quality is not that good because of the transporting process and everything. They will send my products back to me. And for me not to pay extra transport, I discard the product. I might send them to the dumping site and also might sell to local farmers. So quality also plays a big role because we don't have enough facilities or conducive facilities to transport our products from farm gates to the shops. So that also plays a very big role. Another thing is quantity. Quantity, some of us, we don't have that capacity to produce what is needed, space for the whole season.
Yeah.
So we find it so difficult to get offtake agreements with big shops because that guy is asking for cabbages throughout the year. And I can only produce cabbages 3-4 months in a year in winter. So that quantity is also a key thing that is hitting farmers. But overall, market is there, we can penetrate the market. It's only on processing that we need to check. And when it comes to food handling,
yeah,
that's when safety officers comes in. It's a very critical thing because standards that are set are just so high. are just so high for an ordinary farmer to meet. Yes. Standards are just so high for an ordinary farmer to meet. Even if you have an idea and you don't have financial support, you might not be in that position of achieving what you are, what you want, or meeting your target. So these are the few challenges that are there.
Okay. Now, for you personally, Jacob Mutota, what value addition are you planning or have in mind to add to what you're growing currently? And I take it you are into wheat. So what is it that you perhaps think of doing? Well, who knows, perhaps you're going to be supplying wheat to those that actually make jungle oats. What do you think?
The processing, I would only consider processing on maize. You mill the maize, you sell the flour to the people.
Okay.
That's the cheapest you can go, and it can quite pay off. Other products like wheat, it's a very critical thing. This one, you take it to maybe Namib Mills or Bukomo so they can mill their things and handle them. Because most of us, we hardly consume this flour that we made locally or that we produce.
Yeah.
We rather buy from shop. And these people, they also have preferences. The person only buy Bokomo or maybe Back Pro, they only buy that. So I rather sell this one to these companies than they pay me. But Mahango and maize, the way to go.
Yeah.
And as you also have observed in previous years, it hasn't really been raining so well. And the northern part of Namibia was very dry, so the whole country was relying on maize that maybe South Africa is producing. And we buy this flour on a very high pressure. So processing it and sell it on a very good price to people when they need, when they are highly, the demand is high, it's what I'm looking to. It's what I'm looking to.
Okay. Interesting. Jacob Mutota, I always appreciate how you make time for us right here on the radar to educate us in anything that relates to farming or agronomic. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me. And I want the government to achieve what it has just proposed. And I would be there to see if we really achieved the 10% or we really achieved the 2.5%. Yeah, probably over. But my effort will be to go over 10%.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And there you had it from agronomist Jacob Mutota as he's working us throughout how perhaps government can help actually to achieve a desire for agro-processing to contribute 2.5%. Currently, we are at 7.5%. So to bring us up to 10% by 2030. And he says that this is achievable. And of course, as we are looking into food security for Namibia, who knows, perhaps we might really, as he's hoping, and it's actually exceed 2.5%. Now, let's be on the lookout for that. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. But you are tuned into On The Radar Analysis. We'll be back with yet more news that we are going to analyze. See you right after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Ripurane ngeno wapongwa Eva Tero ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwefu dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM.
Now still talking about the official launch of the National Development Plan by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah yesterday. It further looks at increasing the number of tourist arrivals and revenue from the gaming sector. And of course, I'm joined in studio by Sonny Nurupesh. Sonny, good afternoon and welcome to On The Radar.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Now, Sonny, just how can Namibia best leverage this in order for you to actually boost revenue from the gaming sector as well as increase the number of tourists? What is it that we should be doing to actually attract tourists to come to Namibia?
I think if you look at the growth year on year and what NDP6 is talking about tourism, I think definitely the increase is immense compared to the last few years, especially with the pandemic.
Yeah.
Currently, we are looking at, in 2023, it was 860,000 tourists, which is still not as close as 1.6 million in before COVID. Mm. But once we get the 2024 statistics, we'll see how close the gap is. I feel we are doing enough to get tourists, but we must also remember that Namibia is only so big and we only have so much capacity. So I think we need to look at more internally first, how to empower more Namibians in the sector to get jobs in tourism. Because before COVID, I remember in 2019, we had over 100,000 Namibians in tourism employment, direct or indirect. But now it looks like it's less than 30,000 at the latest figures, which is concerning, but it's growing again. So hopefully there are more opportunities for the youth to go into tourism.
Yeah. Now, of course, a lot of concerns, you spoke about COVID, thank you so much. A lot of people have concerns because I think when COVID hit, tourism was one of those early sectors that were hit from the very beginning with a loss of employment massively. Now, a lot of people are also very skeptical now because people are going into stuff where they are also anticipating to say, what if something actually happens? What lessons have we learned in terms of COVID that perhaps we should should implement now or stay afloat, for us to actually stay afloat? Should something like that ever hit us again?
Well, it's something that, you know, we never know what, how things can change. But yeah. I think better financial literacy for the smaller companies would help. Bigger companies have learned the lessons and they know how to structure it better. Mm-hmm. But for the smaller upcoming companies, that's when uncertainty happens. They don't know how to deal with it. But that's part of the education and awareness that needs to happen more regularly and more for the smaller companies. Apart from that, to also include, if we look at including more things, more sectors in tourism, more cultural tourism, more ecotourism, heritage side of things, the more we have, the more it helps us diversify the tourism sector so that if something happens in one of the sectors, at least we have other things to depend on.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we also get lost in understanding where tourists are and where the tourism needs to be. Because gaming, for example, then I don't think there's anything in gambling that tourists come here for.
Mm.
So there's something we need to understand. We must separate it from the tourism numbers and statistics to say, yeah, gaming has nothing to do with tourism as much as conservation and cultural tourism would make an impact.
Yeah, ne? Although the National Development Plan policy document says that gaming industry generated revenue of about 32 million Namibian dollars in the 2024-2025 year compared to 9.3 million Namibian dollars in the 2022-2023 year. How exactly do you think they got to this figure?
What is gaming? Are we looking at gambling?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's gambling, then usually it's probably locals. It's a local economy that's funding it. Tourists who stay at country club, for example, which has a, places which have a casino, they might get some income. But in the years, I've yet to see tourists who say, no, we're coming here because there's also gambling or casinos.
Yeah.
Namibia has a lot more to offer than that. So I think gambling and gaming is more directly related to the unemployment and other social economic issues than directly with tourism.
Mm-hmm. Now, the document for... Oh, you still...
Yeah?
Okay. Now, this NDP 6 document further says that tourism, in terms of tourism section, it is about 290,324 people employed in the tourism sector. And is that something that is perhaps factual, considering that that would be 5.4% of the employed population of the Namibian people?
No, if you look at 290,000 as 5%, that means 5 million people are employed in Namibia. I think there's a type of mistake there. It should be 29,324,
mm-hmm.
Which then comes to about 5.4% or 5% of employed population in Namibia. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. The figures don't really account because we only have 900,000 eligible employment eligible population.
Yeah.
So these figures don't really make sense. I've asked the ministry for clarification on it.
Yeah.
But the fact that tourism contributes 5% to GDP, or 1.6% to GDP, which is good, and in terms of 5% to the employment, it's actually good. If you look at the percentage, it's
mm-hmm.
really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers we need to get clarification on.
Yeah. Okay. How exactly, you did speak about previously, before COVID, about 100,000 people were employed in the tourism sector. Are we seeing pick up within this couple of years? And what would you say should perhaps the government prioritize on in order to help it pick up even the more?
I think they need to prioritize more tourism across the country and not just in some hubs like Swakopmund and Windhoek,
mm-hmm.
Or just around Itosha. We need to open up more of Namibia to tourism and open opportunities for younger companies to start in those places. And I think that can happen if we work closely with the heritage and the cultural ministry and all of that other aspects of tourism come together to work together. Because currently the big challenge is cultural tourism doesn't happen because Ministry of Culture sits with the information and they don't work together. Heritage Council works separately. So I feel there's a lot of gaps there that if everyone can streamline it, we have more tourism products to offer, and more youth will get into tourism if they see the opportunities.
Yeah. Now, in terms of wildlife, of course, Namibia's wildlife, I trust, is doing very well. But we do get other countries also coming to get wild animals from here and taking them to their own countries. For instance, India had taken some cheetahs or was it lions?
Cheetahs.
But unfortunately, because of perhaps they were not really adopting very well, they just lost the other cheetah, and they also took from South Africa as well. What would you say perhaps Namibia what advice gives to those countries that do come here to get the wild animals? But then again, of course, you appreciate that they don't want their animals to go extinct. But then again, if it perhaps the environment where they relocate them to is not conducive, how then can we actually help those countries by, at the end of the day, still having their animals, but then also helping the animals to adapt?
So it's one of those things where it's always going to be a bit more controversial on that topic. But let's put it in perspective, as in India, for example. Yeah. India had taken 8 cheetahs because years ago India used to have cheetahs. They went extinct, so they tried to reintroduce the species, which was 8 cheetahs.
Mm.
Every year in Namibia, over 150 cheetahs are killed by farmers, and legally hunting, we allow another 150 cheetahs. So that's already, so that's legally.
Mm-hmm.
So to give 8 cheetahs a chance to see if they can repopulate, it was something we try.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, if you're sending animals to other countries for zoos and entertainment purposes, I feel that shouldn't happen, because that's, again, it's exploitation of animals.
Yeah.
Why would then people come here to see, and if elephants, for example, if we are sending them to zoos in other countries?
Mm-hmm.
So there are different aspects to that discussion. But again, at the end of the day, as long as we have animals here that tourists can come and see, and they know we've got a healthy population of those animals, I don't think it stops tourists from coming here. It's not just the animals. It's the experience of traveling to Namibia that they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nirupesh, furthermore, still on this topic, what is that particular thing that I didn't ask that you wish NDP6 will also look into?
I think it should look into about a bit more cross-sectoral promotion as well. Obviously, we have ministries who contributed for their ministries, but we have a lot of cross-sectorial opportunities that we are not talking about.
Okay.
For example, technology and tourism.
Mm.
You know, how can technology help? So how do we work together with those ministries or those students who are in tech to show them there's opportunities in tourism? One of the things we always do is, okay, well, you are a tourism student, so you have opportunities and jobs in tourism. But what about the other graduates who could potentially benefit from tourism? Or tourism can potentially benefit from them if we can show them what they can help with in tourism. The tourism needs everyone, not just graduates from tourism. So I think there's a lot more discussion on that side that needs to have come from ministry. But
yeah.
Again, I think ministry is still finding its feet and deciding what's the priorities for the year or for the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Nirupesh, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the radar.
Absolutely, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
Bye. Okay.
And of course, there we had it from Sonny Nirupesh in terms of NDP6. Now, with 5 years left before Vision 2030, actually 4 in a couple of months, NDP6 represents both an opportunity and a test. Now, it reflects the administration's early commitment to economic revival under President Netumbona Nandi-Ndaitwah, who marked her first 100 days in office with the plan's unveiling. Now, by turning policy into progress will require a clear accountability resource mobilization, and above all, political will. Namibia's development vision is no longer abstract. It is now a matter of timelines, targets, and tangible results. This is On The Reader Analysis. If you're trying to call us, please kindly do call back. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Come through in your opinions and contributions, or perhaps also ask questions as we talk about and analyze NDP6 today. For now, let's pause right here and take a commercial break, but we'll be waiting for your call.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. You are listening to On The Reader Analysis right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Now, make sure you tune in every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours up until 1430. Of course, do also make sure that you do subscribe to our e-paper, which is The Villager e-paper, out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Now, yesterday's e-paper covered the following headlines. Garlic grower targeting commercial success. M23 DRC government restore peace. Africa bets on bonds to save its wildlife. Omusati governor to prioritize infrastructure and food security. Just 36% of Namibians align with political parties. Survey reveals declining affiliation with political parties across Africa. Now grab your copy and read up on that while you anticipate for Wednesday's edition of the e-paper, out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. That is tri-weekly dose of social and economic news delivered straight to your mobile app free of charge. Now all you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144 so you can be updated on what's making headlines. Now with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, when we do return, we shall be bringing you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators. Our studio line is also very much open for you to come through in all your opinions and contributions right here. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. We also want to hear from you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And welcome back to On The Radar. I'm your co-host Sean Jordan Wisep, and I'll be taking you through the trading economics for today. Now, $1 will get you $17.64, whereas €1 will get you $20.66. £1 will give you $23.85. ¥1 will give you 0.12 Namibian dollars. ¥1 will give you $2.46 Namibian dollars. $1 will give you 11 Namibian dollars and 53 cents. And finally, ¥1 will equal $22.17. Now, Morocco inflation holds at 1-year low in June. The annual inflation rate in Morocco has held steady at 0.4% in June 2025, matching May's 1-year low. Price growth has accelerated in food and non-alcoholic beverages, at 0.8% versus the 0.4% in May, while the pace of decline slowed in transport and agricultural products. Now, for the foreign exchange updates, the top currency losers are the New Zealand dollar at 0.40%, the South Korean won at -0.33%, the Australian dollar at 0.25%, and the Japanese yen at 0.15%, whereas gains were led by the euro at 0.04%. In your agricultural commodity updates, your top commodity gainers are rubber at 0.95% and sugar at 0.50%, whereas your biggest losers are wheat at -0.81% and canola at -0.64%. In your metal commodities, your top commodity gainers are steel rebar at 2.62%, lithium carbonate at 1.62%, and iron ore CNY at 0.56%, whereas your biggest losers are platinum at -0.60% and gold at -0.36%. Now, in your energy commodities, the top commodity losers are heating oil at -2.34%, natural gas at -1.21%, crude oil WTI at -1.16%, and Brent crude oil at -1.12%, whereas your gains are led by natural gas UK GBP at 0.79%. Now, in other news, the UK 10-year gilt yields rose to 4.637% after data showed the highest June budget deficit since 2021, adding pressure on the government's fiscal stance. The UK posted a £20.7 billion deficit for June, a £6.6 billion higher than last year and the second highest June figure since records began in 1993. Investment payments on debt hit £16.4 billion, driven by inflation-linked gilt costs, also the second highest figure, the highest June figure since 1997. The jump in borrowing has raised concerns that Chancellor Rachel Reeves may need to raise taxes in the autumn to stabilize public finances. Higher yields make borrowing more expensive, compounding the fiscal challenge. Year-to-date borrowing stands at €57.8 billion, pounds, £7.5 billion above last year, but broadly aligned with the OBR's forecast. Despite the fiscal concerns, upcoming data could offer some relief. Flash PMIs are expected to show easing contraction in manufacturing and strong growth in services, while retail sales are forecasted to rebound on warmer weather. Now, in other news, iron ore futures rose to over CNY 810 per pound on Tuesday, hitting their highest level in nearly 5 months amid growing expectations of fresh stimulus from the top consumer in China. Sentiment has lifted by the launch of a CNY 1.2 trillion hydropower plant, which is expected to drive demand for construction materials like steel and concrete. Prices also benefited from ongoing efforts to reduce overcapacity and curb excessive competition in China's steel industry, moves that have improved profit margins for steelmakers and supported higher output. Future optimism came from the industry ministry's broader plan to stabilize growth across key sectors including machinery, autos, and electrical equipment. The plan therefore targets 10 core industries such as steel, non-ferrous metals, petrochemicals, and construction materials, reinforcing expectations of sustained demand for industrial commodities. And that was your trading economic news. But don't go away. We'll be right back only on Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take out my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapongwa Eva Tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angi kashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushenda fena wa lukumuna oijawa ili nawa. Ninge pata fano wa wanika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali hea li nola natu. Heari bari no heari ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bari o hetatu watatu o mafelane egeleto the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica.
And welcome back. Now, to News Beyond the Borders, we start in South Africa, with the International Trade Center launching inaugural Global SME Ministerial Meeting, as SABC reports.
Ministerial meeting in partnership with the Department of Small Business Development in Boksburg. The Global SME Ministerial Meeting will serve as a platform for countries to collaborate on strategies for fostering SME growth and addressing the challenges hindering their potential. Diabo Sito joins us live from Boksburg with the very latest. Good afternoon, Diabo. Just tell us more about this initiative.
Good afternoon, Mfundo. Well, on the sidelines of the ministerial meeting that you've just alluded to is the Startup 20. You know that we, South Africa, hold the presidency of the G20, and the Startup 20 is one of the little elements that are part of the G20. And every entrepreneur you could think of who is a trailblazer in the ecosystem is here today. And what I found fascinating so far is the process that has happened in order to come up with were solutions that will be presented to the ministerial conference later in the year, and that it is how inclusive it is. I've been sitting in there and listening in a way that the task forces have gone into different separate rooms to discuss and give ideas, and then they come back to the meeting where we are, and they give ideas, and they let everyone have a say and come up with recommendations, which is quite beautiful to see, because you know that whatever's going to be drafted at the end of that paper, it's not just the ideas of a group of people, but this is a culmination of ideas that are going to be part of that. I've invited one of the deputy chairs of the task force, Mr. Hilton Thiensen, to give us a better picture. I think he will explain it a little bit better than I have, Mfundo, on exactly how the today's proceedings have gone. And I was just telling Mfundo about how fascinating I've found it, that, you know, everyone is so included, and you put up your hand, give ideas, and they're noted down and debated on. Welcome to SABC News. Please tell us more.
Thank you, and, good afternoon to everyone out there. Yes, I mean, I think we are very fortunate that we have, after 20 years, we have the G20 on the African continent. So our president said it's an African G20. And then, you know, the Startup 20, which was started by India in 2021 or 2023, Brazil 2024, and now handed to us a couple of months ago, in fact, just 3 months ago, some of us put our hands up to kind of do country duty to enable everyone in South Africa that owns a business, as well as the African continent. We have unique experiences, and even though we have challenges and we're an emerging economy, we in fact the youngest economy among the G20, and we have so much challenges that we've discovered for ourselves, and to bring those voices here together over those last 2 days was very critical for us to contribute to the global policies as well as programs that are implemented to create a well-being and an inclusive economy throughout the world.
Yeah. Now in other news, South Africa's wool producers embrace sustainable practices.
Stefan Erasmus's family has been farming sheep in South Africa for 5 generations. But in the past, buyers of wool and lamb weren't so concerned about the damage livestock does to land and climate.
In other news, the International Trade Center.
This forced a shift to sustainable farming. His 7,700-hectare farm aims to rebuild biomass, restore overgrazed land, and capture soil carbon, eventually earning carbon credits.
The animals are just amazing to work with, and it's amazing to care for them. And when you've developed a passion for them, you also develop a love, and with that love comes higher productivity. Animals that are cared for produce better.
South Africa's regenerative farming is a growing movement, although there is no data on how many of about 8,000 sheep farmers in the country follow this practice. Farmers are slowly shifting to the new practice with a few challenges.
We can't graze grass. We can't. So we need animals to do it for us, to provide us with protein. There's another way you can get protein. You can cut down entire forests and plant protein on there. But I will argue that that has a much more detrimental effect on the natural environment than actual husbandry to use animals to complete an ecosystem.
Some scientists do acknowledge the significance of carbon credits as a sustainable practice to allow ecological restoration. And according to Joe Bester, a consultant for the International Wool and Textile Organization, farmers need to be better educated and financially supported to fund the process.
If we think of wool as a solution to climate change, we've got to understand that wool is a biodegradable, renewable resource that is grown by sunlight indirectly fed through plants and into the sheep. And so it is definitely a better solution to our clothing and fiber choices.
For Erasmus, this is a step in the right direction in ensuring that he maximizes production.
Road to make sure that your practices are creating carbon credits. So for us, what's wonderful about it is all the things that we are now doing and changing are beneficial to the health of our animals, to our soil, to our plants, to this entire ecosystem.
The main idea behind regenerative agriculture is to mimic the natural processes in ecosystems and hence revive landscapes for generations to come. Caroline B, CGTN.
Now in other news, Fly SA Air apologizes for strike disruptions. Let's take a listen.
Well, let's start with FlySafe. They've issued an apology to passengers facing disruptions due to a pilot strike that has led to some flight cancellations. The industrial action involving about 200 FlySafe pilots affiliated with trade union Solidarity has caused frustrations at OR Tambo International Airport as well as Nonseria Airport. The pilots are demanding a 10.5% salary increase, while the employer is offering 5.7%. So Katleho was at OR Tambo yesterday. Today he's coming to us from Lanseria, obviously being based in Johannesburg. Those are the ones that we're focusing in on here right now. Katleho, talk to us. I mean, I know Lanseria, there are very few other flights on offer besides FlySafe. Talk to us.
A very good morning to you, Leanne, and to our viewers at home. You're right. This morning, you find us at the Lanseria International Airport, just tracking the impact of the FlySafe strike on operations in terms of these airports that have been affected. Remember yesterday, the airline reporting that there's been 26 of those flights that have since been cancelled, that impacting hugely the commuters, the passengers that were traveling out of OR Tambo International Airport. Here where we are today, the Lanseria International Airport is an airport whereby FlySafe is the only airline that operates here. And you can imagine that they would be the ones that are more or less bearing so much of the brunt coming from the strike action by the pilots. You're right to say that yesterday we saw the airline apologizing as they push to find each other with the pilots. As of tomorrow, they'll be sitting down again in front of the CCMA to try by all means to find each other in bridging this impasse. But as those talks are anticipated on the ground, there are frustrations with a lot of passengers looking to see how they are going to be affected by this two-week strike action if indeed it stretches all the way to 2 weeks. So this morning, I'm going to invite into the conversation Christian Fori, who's joining us from Lanseria, who'll just give us a sense of the impact of this strike action. I know that there are flights that have been cancelled even from here at Lanseria following the announcement by FlySafe, and they are the only ones that operate here. So one wonders as to how did you plan, you know, for accommodating the passengers that will be coming through, but at the same time, ensuring that you safeguard the business. Welcome to the SABC. Christian?
Yes, thank you. Yes, we've had some impact yesterday especially. We had three flights cancelled, but FlySafe has kept us informed in the entire process. So they did advise us that there would be some flight cancellations. What happened is that at the last minute, though, some of their contingency plans didn't happen. And we had some passengers that arrived here that needed to be rebooked of those three flights. Today, we only have two cancellations, and that's out of 12 to 15 that we do daily with FlySafe. So that kept us well informed throughout the process. We've been able to manage it. And actually, it's only impacted really our Cape Town flights. Our Durban and George destinations have not been impacted at all.
From yesterday coming into today, do you get a sense from the passengers that they, too, were aware of the strike action? Have you also had to take extraordinary measures to ensure that at least you allay fears, but also you manage the frustrations that would come through from the strike action?
We haven't really had irate passengers or difficult passengers. As I said, we had of two of the flights yesterday morning, they had to be rebooked, and that process took about 2 hours or so. So for that batch of passengers, there was probably some animosity. But after, by mid-morning, we were clear. And as you can see by the ticketing office on the other side, there's no one there. There's nothing, and everyone is now well informed as to what the requirements are, as to whether they need to come to the flights or not. And you can see behind me, everything is running smoothly. Our next flight is around 10 o'clock this morning, and everything is quite quite smooth.
Yeah, that's what we suspected, because when walking in here, you can see that it's a bit empty. It's actually, there was only one passenger here when we arrived, and one was wondering as to, is this an ordinary, operation in terms of, a Lancerium? On an ordinary, would you expect to see people here? And one wonders if indeed then there are those passengers that decided to stay away or gauge as to how the talks are going so that they can move better.
No, well, FlySafe is keeping in direct contact with the passengers whose flights are affected. So they're well informed now as to whether they need to come to their flights or not. That's the first thing. So that's why you're not seeing any congestion behind us. We normally do between 12 and 15 flights a day. And this time of the day is actually our sort of our off-peak period, because all the morning rush has already left. And the later afternoon will only start, towards the afternoon. The ones that you are seeing now is only for one flight at 10 o'clock, and then the next one is at 12 o'clock.
All right. Christian, thank you very much for giving us your time. Christian Fori, just joining us here, and you hear them really
and now
they are affected.
We pause here and make room for a scheduled commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back soon to continue with News Beyond the Borders right here on the Radar Analysis. Now, remember, our studio line is very much open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Please come through and air your opinions and contributions, or perhaps ask questions.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2 o'clock to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2 o'clock. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We all save at USAVE. Now, welcome back. In other news, over 500 Mumbwa farmers are set to benefit from the new irrigation system.
First Lady Mutinda Ichilema has donated an assortment of goods worth 500,000 kwacha to the Wanika General Hospital in Western Province. Speaking on behalf of the First Lady, shortly after presenting the donation, Charity Kapala has affirmed that First Lady's office will continue working with the government.
This kind gesture we are witnessing today is a true testament of our role to assist the vulnerable members of our communities and supplement government efforts in their provision of services to the country. It is our hope that this donation of foodstuffs and other essential items will supplement the dietary needs of the patients and help in the road to recovery.
And Western Province Minister Kapela Mbangweta says government's affirmative actions towards ensuring availability of medicine at Lwanika General Hospital is a clear demonstration of its commitments to improving healthcare services in the province.
Under the new donor administration, the hospital received a renal dialysis unit, digital X-ray machines, and the 3 ultrasound machines and blood screening equipment. The procurement, delivery, and installation of this medical equipment has greatly improved efficiency in the provision of quality health care at the hospital.
Giving the donation, the Wanika General Hospital Superintendent Dr. Sam Tumanjekwa has expressed happiness with the donation.
This donation could not have come at a more critical time. Our patients' admissions have increased drastically, and providing comfortable, dignified care has become more challenging than ever. These mattresses, linen, and other assorted items will go a long way in restoring comforts, improving hygiene. First of all, Madam, may I mention that I've been at this institution for over a decade, and we've never witnessed such a huge donation.
Logis Fepa reporting for Zanis TV.
In other news, Morocco and Chinese firm partner for sustainable farming.
Zhongnong Group's partnership with Morocco's Ministry of Agriculture is expected to establish a cutting-edge agricultural hub with an initial investment of $22 million.
The initiative will lead to the widespread adoption of localized drip irrigation systems, the rehabilitation of saline and alkaline soils, and the cultivation of high-value, low-water crops such as olives, pomegranates, almonds, and figs. It will also reduce water usage by up to 50% while increasing crop yields by more than 20% per hectare.
Agriculture in Morocco is a cornerstone of the economy, particularly for rural populations. However, the sector's performance is heavily influenced by rainfall, making it vulnerable to climate change and droughts.
Farming communities in Morocco are impacted by climate change and water scarcity. The state support and private initiatives offer training and high-tech solutions to farmers, contributing to agricultural development as well as socio-economic empowerment in the region.
The North African country has implemented agricultural strategies like the Green Morocco Plan to modernize the agricultural sector. The project supports both commercial and smallholder farmers and promotes sustainable agricultural practices.
The ministry has given priority to family and small-scale farming through many projects like hydro-agricultural rehabilitation. Farmers benefited from the equipment with subsidized irrigation systems as part of individual and group projects. 85 to 90% of the beneficiaries were small-scale farmers.
Morocco's Minister of Agriculture described the collaboration with a Chinese firm as, quote, an integrated development model that merges technology with social impact. This partnership is widely seen as invaluable in a country where agriculture remains a primary source of income for so many people and rural communities. Adan Shawishi, CGTN.
African communities feel the impact of U.S. funding cuts.
In Taita Taveta County in Kenya's coastal province, this water canal was meant to be a lifeline for many under a planned irrigation scheme. But work at the Kamblenza Irrigation Project has stalled after the United Nations halted its funding. This project would have benefited thousands of farmers in the drought-prone area, but hopes to get it up and running have been diminished.
We had convinced the farmers that since this is a very huge project, it's going to benefit them, and we know how much we've suffered. Because farmers who come from far end don't get enough water. So when we were convinced that it was just for a very short period of time that the project is going to be complete and we'll start getting more water in plenty. But unfortunately, it didn't happen.
It is one of the many projects across the world that have stalled since U.S. President Donald Trump announced huge funding cuts and closed the U.S. Agency for International Development. With the canal partly done, it now poses a hazard to the community around here who fear the unfinished walls could collapse or worsen flooding during rainy seasons.
It will collapse if nothing is done anytime sooner. It's going to collapse, and the flow of water with the destruction of some of the previous infrastructure, it will lead to more destruction to farms and to homes.
My hope is that the canal project be completed so that I can farm, live, and have somewhere to sleep. My bedroom floods, and so what project can I have if so? If the canal is complete, then I can have projects to do.
Elsewhere in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the effects of USAID cuts are also felt by a community of people that has endured conflict and underdevelopment for decades. These are water kiosks under Sustainable Water Systems Activity by Mercy Corps and Tetra Tech. They ensured access to safe drinking water and sanitation to 1.4 million people in North and South Kivu. But now, people like Evelyn Baswa are worried that their lives will be endangered as they struggle to access water.
The children leave the house as early as 4 a.m. and return home around 5 p.m. without a drop of water. When we send young girls, they are raped. When we send young boys, they are kidnapped. I lost a boy a week ago, and he's still missing without a trace. It's all because of the lack of water.
The Trump administration and its supporters argue that the United States would spend its money to benefit Americans at home
rather than spending it abroad. Meanwhile, third world countries will be adjusting to these uncertainties and hope that the administration in Washington could revise its decision. Wanja Mungai, CGTN.
Now, in international news, Musk's X says it won't cooperate with French probe.
Elon Musk's X accused French prosecutors of launching a politically motivated criminal investigation on Monday. It comes after Paris prosecutors stepped up a preliminary probe into X earlier this month for suspected algorithmic bias and fraudulent data extraction. Police can now conduct searches, wiretaps and surveillance against Musk and X executives or summon them to testify. A judge could also issue an arrest warrant if they don't comply. The social media firm said the move threatens its users' free speech. And it also denied all allegations against it and said it wouldn't cooperate with the probe. X posted it believes the investigation is distorting French law in order to serve a political agenda and restrict free speech. X said it had refused a request for access to its recommendation algorithm and real-time data. The Paris prosecutor's office did not respond to accusations of political bias, but it confirmed it had sent a judicial request to X on July 19th asking for access solely to its algorithm. It said it had offered X a secure channel to share the information with investigators who would have confidential access to the data. The prosecutors said they had yet to receive an official response from the company. Failure to comply with their judicial request can lead to a fine or obstruction of justice charges. Musk has accused European governments of attacking free speech and has voiced support for some of the region's far-right parties. The French probe could deepen a rift between Washington and European capitals over what sort of discourse is allowed online. Senior US officials have alleged the censoring of right-wing voices around the world. Meanwhile, the European Commission has investigated X for breaching its digital transparency rules against illegal content since late 2023.
And now, in further news, Barack Obama's administration has been accused of treason.
Donald Trump's key intelligence chief has made a bombshell allegation accusing the former president, Barack Obama, of treason dating back to 2016. She has released documents to back up her claims, but not everything seems to stack up.
For fake news, top this. Donald Trump posting bogus images of Barack Obama being arrested, feeding a frenzied MAGA narrative the former president is about to be charged with treason for allegedly manipulating intelligence reports about Russian interference in the 2016 election.
He directed a manufactured piece of intelligence that detailed not if, but how Russia tried to influence the outcome.
Trump's director of national intelligence claims even as Barack Obama was putting on a show of transitioning power, he was conspiring with intelligence chiefs to suggest Trump's victory was illegitimate because it was helped by Russian meddling to defeat the candidate Vladimir Putin most feared, Hillary Clinton. Gabbard calls that an attempted coup.
There is one big hole in that argument. There is no record of Barack Obama ever claiming that either of Donald Trump's election victories was illegitimate due to Russian meddling or anything else. Hardly a coup, far less treason.
A Republican-led inquiry found the Russian government did direct extensive activity against U.S. election infrastructure in 2016, though in the end found there was no evidence that any votes were changed. A distraction, if nothing else, from the recent focus on the president's awkward history with sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Meanwhile, another colorful figure has popped up, Joe Biden's son, giving his view of George Clooney, the actor who urged Biden Sr. to step down.
F him and everybody around him.
Hunter Biden now saying about his father what couldn't be said at the time.
Yeah, he got old. He got old before our eyes.
Hugh Remington, 10 News.
FBI's Jeffrey Epstein prison footage now released.
Welcome back. Video released by the Justice Department showing the outside of Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell just hours before he was found dead has the world watching frame by frame. And one moment is certainly raising eyebrows. The footage cuts and the timestamp jumps a whole minute as questions of the so-called missing minutes spiral into full-blown conspiracy theories. And new reporting shows even more footage may be missing. So this headline from Wired reads, the FBI's Jeffrey Epstein prison video had nearly 3 minutes cut out. According to Wired, newly uncovered metadata reveals a 2-minute and 53-second chunk was removed from what the federal government called raw footage. So joining me live now is Dhruv Mehrotra, an investigative data reporter for Wired and the author of that piece. Dhruv, thanks for being here. First things first, how did you figure out about this missing chunk, and how was that video then edited?
Yeah, so on Monday, the DOJ and FBI released what it called raw surveillance footage from an area adjacent to the special housing unit where Jeffrey Epstein was found dead. And soon after they released the data, we downloaded the files that the DOJ released and looked into sort of the hidden information that's embedded in most digital files that can show you a bit about how and when something was created, edited, or saved. It's kind of like a video's digital paper trail. And in this case, the metadata showed the footage had been edited using Adobe Premiere Pro, which is a professional editing tool. And it was saved several times and stitched together from two separate clips.
All right. So you take that information, you see that. How does this help then piece together what happened in this case? So what are the new takeaways?
Yeah, so the main findings from the piece and the analysis are basically that the quote-unquote raw video was actually stitched together from two separate clips and exported multiple times over more than 3 hours on a single day in May. When we looked at the metadata from the source clips, we found that 2 minutes and 53 seconds were removed from one of the original files that they used. And that cut happens actually right before the now infamous missing minute, which is like a gap in footage that occurred from 11:59 p.m. on August 9th to midnight the following morning. And, you know, this doesn't just really...
And with that, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar Analysis. Make sure to tune in again, same time, same place tomorrow from 1300 hours to 1430 as we bring you yet another news that we will be analyzing. Now, you can always be part of the conversation. So tomorrow, prepare to partake in the news analysis. Also, I'll anticipate The Villager e-paper out tomorrow on Wednesday for some social and economic news right there in the paper. Should you really want to educate yourself and be on the loop on what's happening within the borders of Namibia and beyond. Now, with that being said, from Indahafa, happy Juju and
Sean Jordan.
It is goodbye and have yourself a blessed afternoon.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko berewa mbra etatu natu bali o etatu watatu Oma felane Eagle FM the eye
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba.